Pastor Alex and Angela. Thank you for being here all the way from Springfield, Missouri. We love you guys, and thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Good morning. We are so happy to be here. You know, being in ministry, we sit through two services a lot of times, and, you know, sometimes it's like you don't look forward to going back to second service, but today's a good day to be here for two services.
Not me, baby.
And I was so blessed by worship. Oh, was I not supposed to, is that like a pastor secret I'm not supposed to admit?
I'm a better Christian than you, I guess. I'm a better Christian than you, I guess. I like being in two services.
Whatever. Okay. So I was so looking forward to getting to come back and do worship again in the second service and was so blessed. And I said to the first service, I said, you know what? The worship team preached our message already. We could just go home now, you know, because what's happening is I'm just going to run real quick through this because this is normally not what I do when I come up here. I'm preaching. You know, we talk about the fact that the whole race problem that we have in our country is not a black versus white thing. It's a darkness versus light thing. It's a spiritual problem. And so the songs this morning, we talked about how, you know, God is the light that tramples out the darkness. Woohoo! We have got the answer, people. Yeah. And then we talked about how there's a battle, there's a victory, but it's already won. Like, we do need to engage in this battle, right? And then what the enemy has meant for evil, the enemy has meant to just break hearts, to hurt people, to destroy people's lives, to destroy our country over this issue of race. But you know what? God is going to take what the enemy has meant for evil, and he's going to turn it for good.
Amen.
And just like he did back at Azusa Street when our fellowship first got its roots in the American Revival and that ushered in the Holy Spirit in the age of Pentecost here in the United States, God did something special there. And we want God to do that again. Because you know what they said about Azusa Street? They said that racial tension, division was washed away under the blood of Jesus. That's one marker of how they knew the Holy Spirit had come. Because you had black and white and Hispanic and Asian people all worshiping together back then 100 years ago in California at Azusa Street. And so that last song was, Lord, you've done it before and do it again. So that's why we came, just to share that message in a nutshell. So thank you, worship team, for doing that. And I mean, I guess we can still go ahead with what you have to say, but.
Hey, man, you're preaching, girl. Pastor Angie there. Well, did you even say that we are Alex and Angela Bryant? So that's who we are. So we've been married for 25 years. I've been putting up with her for a while. And the Lord's.
Two-way street.
No, I'm just teasing. I got the microphone, baby. So. But we have five kids, and, you know, we love to have fun. We really do. She's my best friend. We've known each other since grade school. And, you know, we found ourselves at a crossroad like most of the country. I don't know if you noticed this or not. She's a white woman, and I'm a black man. I'm caramel chocolate, but I am chocolate. You know what I'm saying? So, but we found ourselves just, we were going on doing our thing, just being us, married. We had five kids, and we were in St. Louis when Ferguson happened, and our oldest son was in eighth grade, and we see a lot of the violence that's happening, and we saw within society and within culture, whether it's a truth or perceived truth, that police were shooting unarmed black men. That's what our culture was dealing with, and it came smack dab into me when my eighth grade son said, Dad, do I have to worry about being shot? You try not to go, we just lived our lives and just did us. But then when my eighth grade son, and we're comfortable with race, we talk about it, we joke about it, we are who we are. You got black family, you got white family. But when your eighth grade son says, do I have to worry about being shot? That's when it hits home. And I'm on the streets, I'm helping try to keep the peace in Ferguson, and I'm meeting with Captain Ron Johnson and seeing the protests, seeing it turn to violence, and meeting with pastors and people. And it got real. And then a couple years later, we found ourselves ministering in Kansas City, and that's when five police officers were shot in Dallas by a person who wanted to have a response to police shooting black people, so he wanted to kill police officers. And we don't condone that type of violence at all. We have a positive view of police officers. I have two black cousins in Illinois who are police officers. I have a white brother-in-law in Missouri who's a police officer. One of my uncles, black uncle, was a police officer in Macomb, Illinois, the first black police officer on the force. Another uncle in Florida who's a police officer. A couple of in-laws who are military police. We have a positive view of police. Now, we know that there's some stuff that needs to change. We need to talk about some things, but our view is relatively positive. We're thankful for police. And so when that happened, our spirit was heavy. And the Lord just downloaded a message in our hearts and in our minds. We ended up making a video out of it that ended up going viral. And that's what kind of propelled us into this ministry today. We want to start again, and this time we want Christians to lead the way. There's a lot of stuff happening in our world right now, and a lot of people are talking about race, and I get it. I wish that we didn't have to do this. I wish that we didn't have to have these discussions, and it would be more comfortable if we didn't have to. But a lot of stuff's happening. A lot of things need to be discussed, a lot of issues, a lot of drama. We have difference of opinions with the races. We're just talking, our book and our video was in response to the black versus white, but there's even more. There's brown, everything. Yeah, I don't know. There's people of all different nations, all tribes, all color, all races, and we're coming together and we're trying to figure out how do we all do life together. And here's what our message is. Our message is for Christian people. God has mobilized us and told us to go and give the message to Christians that it's not a black versus white thing. It's not a white versus brown thing. It's not a us versus them thing. It's not a Democrat versus Republican thing, a red versus blue thing. It's a dark versus light thing. The devil has been trying to use the sin of racism, prejudice, bigotry, hatred to try to stop the spread of the gospel. And I say try because it's not going to work. Amen? He's been trying it, but Jesus told us to go into all nations and make disciples. Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything he taught. We as Christians know what the end game is. See, that's why we believe that it's important for the church, for us Christians, to be the ones that are facilitating the needed discussions. Because we, first of all, have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit allows us to speak with a tone of love, of forgiveness, of unity. There's too much harshness going on right there, right? When we leave here, and when you get your 14 notifications from Facebook, you're going to see all the harshness that's out there, right? There's too many people that just want to post what they believe and what they feel and what they think and just stirring it up. The media, just stirring it up because it's about ratings to them, and ratings brings money to them. Politicians, they want to stir it up because it gives them votes. They want us to stay in our different lanes and our voting blocks so that they can keep the power for themselves. And so they keep stirring it up. And the imagery we get is like we're all like little kittens playing with the ball of yarn in the middle of the floor, just getting wound up, and we're getting distracted from our main purpose. And our main purpose as Christians is what? To spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we believe in racial reconciliation. We believe in justice. We believe in equality. We believe in discussing some of these issues so that we, people of all colors, all tribes, all nations, can have fellowship with each other so that we can spread the gospel to them. That's what it's all about. That's the end game. And so the Lord has told us it's not a black versus white thing. It's a dark versus light thing. Our scripture verse I want to share with you, and it's out of 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5 through 7, and it says, this is the message that we've heard from him and we declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, well, we don't live that way. Who's he talking to right there? He's talking to us Christians. If we claim to have fellowship with him, if you claim to have fellowship with God, then you claim to be what? A Christian. Our message, and we declare it to you, God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship, we don't live that way, then we're liars. If you claim to be a Christian and you go around posting all this crazy stuff to stir junk up, if you claim to be a Christian, but you want everybody to know how you stand, so for the 132nd time, you post what you believe instead of spreading the love of God. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have our beliefs, but I've learned this in all my years of being a Christian. I've never argued anyone into the kingdom of God. I haven't. I've shown love to people. And what happens is this. This is our message from him. We declare to you, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Christians need to start spreading that message. Let's come together and fellowship, whether it's, you know, in person, over the phone, Zoom. I'm tired of Zoom fellowship. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have dates over Zoom now, man. You know. So, but hey, if we claim to have fellowship or over Facebook, but we don't spread the message of love and of light, then we're liars. If we claim to have fellowship with one another, we got to remember the blood of Jesus is what purifies us from all sin, and we believe it's even the sin of racism. So here's the deal. We've said, and this is what we believe, and this is what our ministry is about. It's about racial reconciliation. And it's not just so that we can be equal. I'm not trying to make white people feel guilty. I know there's a lot right now. White people, I know you guys are tired of hearing about it, and you're scared to death. White people are scared to death to post something on Facebook because you don't want to be labeled a what? Racist. Because let's be real. If you're labeled a racist, you're canceled. And being labeled a racist now is like being labeled a pedophile. Let's just be real about it. If I know that a pedophile lives on the street, I got to move or they got to move because I got five kids. I don't want them anywhere near my kids, right? That's the way we feel about it, right? And the same is happening with racists. And so everybody's being labeled racist, racist, racist. And Christians, we're afraid to talk about it. We're a little bit nervous, a little bit scared. You white Christians, come on, I know. I'm married to a white lady. I know how you guys are. Y'all are scared, you know what I'm saying? Angie wants me to check all her texts. Is this okay? No, I'm just teasing, but other people do, you know? And that's not what it's meant to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be because we Christians are the ones that have the love of Jesus. So let me just ask you this. I mean, what's influencing you? The word of God should be the one. If we remember our message, if we remember the end game, which is to have reconciliation and fellowship with each other, to have unity and peace and forgiveness so that we then can go and spread the gospel to everyone, I think it should change the way that we act towards people. I think it should change the way that we talk to people. I think it should change the way that we think about things. I mean, we have fallen for the lie that the devil has given us that there's a binary choice. So write down this line. You need to decide which side you're on. See, this is what the devil has positioned to us. Are you a Republican or Democrat? Because, hey, if you're a Republican, you're not supposed to like the Democrats at all, and you don't have fellowship with them, you don't talk to them. You're a Democrat, we know about all those, you know, Bible-thumping Republican people, you know, and they're so judgmental, you know. And the devil has been giving us this lie, and we're falling for it hook, line, and sinker. Can I say enough is enough? Now, again, I'm not saying that we should disengage, because that's not what we need to do. We don't need to disengage and put our heads in the sand and pretend like all of it doesn't matter. We need to engage. We are the ones that should be influencers. We believe we need Christians that are Republican, Christians that are Democrat, because we want you to work within your party to make sure the policies that you formulate line up with the Word of God. But I'm not going to hate somebody because they don't have the same politics that I believe in. There's differences, and we need to talk about some of these differences. And that's okay. But us Christians need to be the ones that facilitate the conversations. And when you think about things like these statues, like what should we do with all these statues? And that becomes a divisive term. So now we just, all of us like, no, you know, just bottom line me, where do you stand? Because we want to judge and see where you, if you're against the statues, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And if I don't want to have anything to do with you, I don't want to spread the gospel to you eventually, right? And so, but what we need to do is, Christians need to be the ones that say, hey, listen, there's some things that we need to talk about. So let's come together and let's talk about them. And it's okay to have differing points of views. But when we come together and think about it, we see it from our perspective, and we should be able to civilly and safely express our views and our opinions, and then realize we are all moving as Americans together. You know, I think that when we take time to educate ourselves and to just do some research, we can see that different people see things differently. Like you look at the statue issue and situation. I'm not for any anarchy. I'm not for tearing down any statue. I'm not for rioting, looting, burning it down. I saw it firsthand in St. Louis. I like literally walked the streets of Ferguson during the days and sometimes at nighttime. I saw it. I was there for the 11 days that it was burning. I was working at the St. Louis Dream Center, and I was over it. We had a congregation of about 650 black people, and we were helping rebuild. We were helping clean up. We sent our youth group over to help after the first night, stores that were looted. We had some of the business owners at our Dream Center come and help us with Thanksgiving, serving dinner. I mean, I saw it firsthand. I'm not for any of that. It doesn't lead to any goodness. Not at all. But I am for having discussions about some of these things. Like when you look at these statues, did you know that some of the statues were put up of different leaders, Confederate generals or whatever, as reminders to the black people, hey, we may have lost this war, but remember, black people, you're still not welcome in our public square here. And if you come near here, we'll lynch you from this statue. When you know that history of that, maybe that changes the way you think about it, and maybe you go, okay, well, wait a second. We're not trying to rewrite history. I'm not for that. I love history. We love teaching our history to our kids. But sometimes, just like Bible characters can be messy, our historical figures can too. And maybe, just maybe, some of these statues need to be taken out of the public place and put in a museum. Maybe. Can we offer some, you know, can we come together and just dialogue and maybe say, hey, it's offensive to me as a person because, you know, black people were lynched from that statue over there, so maybe it shouldn't be in the public square. Can we have it in a museum? Or maybe some of them need to be put away altogether, but maybe some of them need to stay there. But the whole point is, as we have these civil discussions, Christians, with the heart of love, with the goal of reconciliation, with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we need to be the ones that are seeking to understand other sides and then come together for unity. There's just differences. It's differences in the way we see things. I remember the first time I went to white people's Thanksgiving. Culture shock, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like this is the deal. At white people Thanksgiving, you guys have turkey. You know, it could either be traditional turkey, it could be, you know, fried, but you guys pretty much have turkey. Man, black people, we're gonna have some turkey. You gotta have some fried chicken. You know what I'm saying? You need to have ham or it ain't even Thanksgiving. And somebody's gonna get jiggy with it and bring some barbecue ribs. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have some meat options, you know? And then for black people Thanksgiving, we have different sides, you know? I mean, like, you got your real mac and cheese with like 7 different cheeses, you know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta plan ahead. Not none of that craft stuff out of the box and I will smack you across your face if you try to serve me that at Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? And then you gotta have, you know, you have your yams, your sweet potatoes, you know, you got your greens, you know, and then, hey, old school black folk, they got chitlins. I ain't down with chitlins. That's disgusting. You know what it is? Ask somebody, but don't ask me. It's disgusting. But you go to white people Thanksgiving, man, you guys will casserole a brother to death. White people got green bean casserole, cheese and broccoli casserole, sweet potato casserole, and then your au gratins with your cousins the casserole. Potato au gratins, you know, like I didn't even know what a casserole was until I married a white woman, you know what I'm saying? And the bottom line is this, like, although black and white Thanksgiving are different, they're equally as good. I see Aunt Nidra the night before rolling noodles. I'm like, what's she doing? And I'm like, oh, she's rolling our homemade noodles. I'm like, I thought you bought noodles in the store. You know, I didn't know they could be made. This is interesting. Let me watch this. And man, you eat those things and ooh, white people, y'all can cook too. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like this. Once you get into it, it's like, it's just different. It is what it is. Experience new things, enjoy new things, and celebrate the diversity. Because that's how heaven's going to be, right? Heaven's going to be with people of all tribes, all nations, all languages, all colors. It's going to be diverse. We shouldn't try to ignore it. I don't want you to ignore my culture. Our kids, when they were younger, my first son, we were living in Springfield, Missouri, and both of our grandmas like lived in Illinois at the time, and where are you going to? We're going to the house. Which one? You know, and we'd be like, well, you know the grandma that lives on this street or grandma that lives in the country, and we try that stuff, you know, and then, you know, and he'd be like, what? Which one? And then so when our number 2 son came along 2 years later, you know, we moved and we're like, okay, far away grandma or closer grandma? Illinois grandma or Florida grandma? He's like, you mean black grandma? No, we mean, you know, Illinois grandma. No, you mean black grandma. And he just called it like it is. Black grandma and white grandma. And we would try to be like, don't want to offend them. So, you know, we tried to stop it. And he just kept on going, man. He's like, black grandma and white grandma. That's what I love them both, you know. And kids just see it differently. And here's what we realize. Hey, race can describe us, but it doesn't have to define us. I expect that you're going to notice I'm a big, bald, beautiful black man. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is, right? But it doesn't have to describe me. I'm a Christian man who happens to be black. It's okay to see race. I grew up in the 80s in church, in the 80s and the 90s, and I know a lot of well-meaning people, I don't even see race, brother. I don't even see it. And what you're trying to say is, hey, the color doesn't matter to me. But I see race. I see it every day. I see it every day. What color is your car? You see it too. We see color, and that's okay. And we have to get comfortable with that, right? It's okay to notice that people are different. Now, there's a difference between noticing race and seeing race described, and this is uncomfortable for some of us because we'd rather not do that. And then political correctness is like, oh, there's a difference. But we have to be okay. Like, white people are always coming up to me all the time, well, how do I refer to you? Are you, and I know what they're saying, are you black or are you African-American? Listen, I don't care. As long as when there's food, you call me first. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we just have to be okay with it, right? And I think it's okay. For me, if I don't know what nationality somebody is, I'm okay with asking them. Now, there's a difference between just going up to someone, oh, I know you're different. What color are you? Just tell me, please. No. But, you know, hey, where are you from? Peru. What, really? Tell me about that. You know, and it's okay. You know, and sometimes instead of just asking like the 900 questions because it's for you to be inquisitive, when you're really wanting to know about someone else, like if you want to ask me about me, my family, my history, my culture, I love talking about me. So do some research and make it about them instead of just coming and putting the microphone up to them and tell me, answer all your questions. Answer all my questions for you. But there's some things we need to talk about, and that's okay. And we believe that us Christians need to be the ones that are having these discussions because people in the world are having the discussions, and we need to lead them. We have to be the ones because we understand what light is. And here's what we said in our book, in our video and in our book, we said there's two sides. There's the dark, and then there's the light. And the dark, darkness is crazy. Fear leads to anger, leads to hate, leads to suffering. We see that happening all the time. But in the light, and I got a screen for you, it doesn't have to be that way. We believe that love leads to forgiveness, leads to unity, and leads to peace. People knowing the Prince of Peace, that's Jesus. We have a goal. We have a mission, and we're supposed to introduce people to the Prince of Peace, and it starts with love. There needs to be forgiveness that happens on both sides, on all sides. We have to bring about unity. We have to be united so that we then can have fellowship with people so that we can spread the gospel to them. If you think about this, racism is nothing new. It's nothing new. I mean, it's been going on for centuries, so much so that the Jewish people, and here's something I noticed too, man, most cultures, if not all, have been the victims and the perpetrators of racism. I mean, it just is. You look at history. You can just go out and outline. We talk a lot about this in our book. But you think about the Jewish people. God called the Israelites. He said through Abraham, I'm going to bless all those that bless you. The promise of the gospel is what he intended for you. But there's also, I believe, physical blessings from that, mental, emotional. But he's like, hey, look, I'm going to bless everyone that blesses you. And so he called and made this covenant with Abraham. And then he told him to go and spread the message of reconciliation. God called Abraham to be reconciled unto himself, and he gave him the message to reconcile all people unto him. See, the Jews thought it was just about for them only. They thought salvation was for themselves only. And they didn't realize that God called them to take the message of reconciliation to the whole world. We know this because we look at the end in Revelation, heaven's going to be populated with all tribes, all tongues, all nations. But the Jewish people, they thought it was only about them. They got so caught up in themselves. And when God was telling them to destroy other nations, they were just thinking he said destroy other races. No, he said wipe out idolatry. Those people are serving other gods. God didn't tell them to destroy all nations, did he? No. God doesn't want a monolithic color. He wants us to be to himself only, one God. But the Israelites missed it. They messed it up. And so much so that when they were conquered by the Babylonians in the 700s before Christ B.C., when they were taken into captivity, and years later when Jesus was on the scene, when they started to repopulate, what was happening is when the Babylonians came in and conquered, and the Syrians, they left a handful of people, a remnant there. And then the Syrian and the Babylonian captives, they started to intermarry and intermix. And so now you got a half-breed of people. So then when Jesus is on the scene, a couple hundred years before that, those people are known as the Samaritans. Jews hated Samaritans. So much so that when they went from northern Israel to worship God down in Jerusalem, they literally would walk east, they would go south around Samaria, and then back west so they didn't have to go through the land. Now we think that, you know, when we read the message of the Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, we just think, well, that's just a story about Jesus having an encounter with the woman. And it is true. It is about that. But it's also a message about the gospel being spread to a whole nation, a whole tribe that the Jewish people were racist against. And so when Jesus left and he said, take the gospel, spread it, the message of salvation in Matthew 28:19, to Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, beyond. Take it to all tribes, all people. That's what we're called to do, Christian people. We're called to do that. I see this church, and I know Pastor Chris and Rachel's heart, and I know that their heart is to reach, man, just the nations. And I love the plan. I understand you guys have a lot of childcare ministry, really, if you will. Here's one thing that we found in our video. Whenever we did that message, and it's like 48, 49 million views right now on Facebook, and we probably got about 10 or 12,000 emails, and here's about what 1,000 of them, at least 1,000 of them said. It's from middle-aged white ladies that would say stuff like this. This is kind of what it went. Hey, I grew up, I wasn't prejudiced, I wasn't racist, but then my daughter started dating a black man, and it wasn't that I was racist, but I just didn't like that, and you know, he's from a different community, or he, you know, felt like a thug or whatever, whatnot. And on a side note, let's just, like, I want you to be aware of this. What color is a thug? Think about it in your mind. What color is trailer park trash? I mean, those are images, right? I mean, let's just be real. And we have to be aware of that when we're posting on Facebook, when we're seeing the media say stuff like, hey, this thug over here. I mean, trailer park trash is one color. Come on, let's be real. But so then we get these emails like, yeah, man, my daughter started dating a black man. I didn't like it at first. And then they had these grandbabies, and oh, my. And then they'd show us a picture. Beautiful little mixed babies. We believe this. This is what we believe. Angie and I started saying this. Man, God's going to change people's hearts by the love that comes with a beautiful little baby that happens to be mixed. And I love what you all are doing with these childcare, with that ministry, and how you're going to be reaching communities. You have an opportunity here to show the love of Jesus. Children don't understand race. Race is taught, but it comes from our culture as well. In our culture, we need to have some of these conversations so that children aren't raised in racist, systemically racist cultures. And so we have to have these discussions. We have to be better neighbors. I'm going to end with this story of a bad neighbor. When we moved to Florida, we were doing ministry there. I was college and young adult pastor, and we lived in this neighborhood that was predominantly white. And I remember the guy across the street from me. I'd always see him, and he just looked gruff. Wouldn't even smile, wouldn't say hi, wouldn't wave. He had these two big old dogs, older white dude, and we're living in the neighborhood. And, I mean, he just didn't smile at me. And so after a while, I just stopped smiling at him, just did my own thing. And then, year goes by, 2 years go by, and I mean, it was just, I'm thinking, man, this guy over there, I know what's going on here. He doesn't like that a black man moved to his neighborhood. Property values in Florida, there's a lot of talk about illegal immigrants in the Latino community and how property values were changing, they're dropping. I'm thinking, I know he's racist. He doesn't like that a black man lives in his neighborhood, and he probably doesn't like that he's married to a white woman, he's got mixed kids. That's a racist dude over there. I'm staying away from him. A couple years go by, and I read this book by Bill Hybels. It's called Just Walk Across the Room. And the whole premise of it was, is we need to be ones that are spreading the gospel to everybody around us, all of our neighbors, anyone we encounter. And he encouraged us to do, like, walks around our neighborhood and just pray for people. And so I was motivated. I started to do that. And I'm walking, I'm praying for different houses. Lord, I met that guy one time. I just pray he comes to know Jesus. And Lord, I saw her in her driveway and she smiled at me. I pray that she comes to know Jesus. And Lord, my son plays ball with that kid. I pray that their family comes to know Jesus for you. And Lord, bless them over here. They seem like nice people. And I'd see his house right across the street and I'd just keep on walking. Wouldn't even pray for him. I'm ashamed to tell you that. Another year goes by, another year. So now we've been there for 5 years. I've never even had a conversation with this guy, period. And I started to notice that he started to drop a lot of weight. I mean a lot of weight, real quickly over the course of a couple weeks, couple months. And my grandma had just passed of cancer. I knew what it was because she did the same thing. He was a chain smoker. I'm like, he has cancer, I know it. And the Holy Spirit's like, you need to go talk to him. I'm not going to talk to that racist man, Holy Spirit. You better send somebody else. A couple weeks go by. You need to go talk to him. I ain't talking to no racist dude, Holy Spirit. You got the wrong brother. Send somebody else. And one night I'm going out. Almost forgot to put out my garbage. It's about 11 o'clock. I go out and I put it out. And I see him in his driveway. The light's on. He's sitting in his garage. And Holy Spirit just kicked me. Go talk to him. And so I go over and start talking to him. And it's awkward. I'm making small talk with my really bad neighbor. I'm talking to him, and he's, you know, being just like, yeah. And I'm thinking, yeah, I knew he didn't want me to over here. And so I just kind of bring it up. I just go over there. I just, the elephant in the room, I'm like, man, I've noticed you've been losing a lot of weight. And he's like, yeah, I got cancer. And I already knew it. I knew it. And now I'm like, whoa. He's like, yeah, they tell me I don't have long. So now I'm thinking I got to pray for the guy. So I put on my pastor's hat, and I tell him, I'm like, hey, I want to pray for you. You know, I'm a pastor. You know, you say that kind of like I got a main line, a straight phone to God or whatever. And he just looks at me and smiles and goes, I know you are. You talk about a shame. I know you are. In that moment, I realized there was really only one bad neighbor. And it wasn't Skip. It was me. Because I thought he was racist, because I just perceived, never gave me any indication, but I just perceived it because I know his kind. I know, and hey, he doesn't like us living here because I'm hearing what the media's saying, I'm hearing what culture's telling me. He's got to be racist, and I ain't talking to him. And that's where we are today. I pray that you all are not really bad neighbors. I pray that you look for this opportunity to spread the gospel to all people of all tribes. We have to rise above what the media is trying to pitch to us, what politicians are saying. We have to remember that our goal is to spread the gospel to Jesus, and it's to all people, all nations, all tribes. And you guys have a unique opportunity to spread that gospel to all these kids that are going to take the gospel home. I'm a Christian because of when I was 8 years old, my Sunday school teacher used to tell me, baby, Mother Coleman loves you, God loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. And I started to believe it. Would you go and tell somebody about Jesus? We got to start again. Amen. I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hands or receive this prayer over here? Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful congregation, Lord. I thank you for all the people that are here, for all that they're doing, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Chris and Rachel and the staff and their team here, Lord. I just pray blessings over this church, over this ministry. Lord, let them go out and spread the gospel to all people of all nations, all tribe, no matter their race, no matter their color, no matter their gender. Lord, I pray that they just love people like Jesus loved people and spread the gospel. And Lord, we will be content with letting you clean them up. We just want to go and fish, and we'll let you clean them up, Lord. Put your love in our hearts for all people, Lord. We want to start again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Alex and Angela, for bringing the word today. This week, I saw on Facebook a little video, and it was of a family that would walk down the street. And every time that they did, this little boy would ride his little bicycle into this neighbor's driveway, do a loop. Maybe I see some head shaking that maybe you've seen this. And that guy had a choice. Do you get offended that this kid's driving in your driveway? Do you not like it? Does it annoy you? Or do you make a racetrack in your driveway? So now every time this kid comes by, he has somewhere to go, and it becomes a neighborhood and a community thing. And as he was talking, I was just thinking, I think the Lord wants us to stop being offended by things that aren't really offendable, except if we make them that. And instead, start putting out a racetrack. Start putting out a way that we let people in our lives and we get into people's lives. And that's what this conversation, the start today, the next three Wednesday nights, September 20th, Pastor Chris Beard from People's Church in Cincinnati is going to be here. God wants us to make a racetrack so we can get into people's lives and get people into ours. And so I would encourage you this morning that as we close this time, that I want to bless Pastor Alex and Angela financially, their ministry. And I feel specifically in the first service, I feel again that there's a person, maybe two, that today you would never, coming into this room, you would be honest, you would never give to a black man, just real straightforward. And I believe God wants to break something off of maybe one person here today, that the act of giving this morning might be something that changes your future forever, because you realize and you let God start and you begin maybe to draw a racetrack on your heart to let someone in, to let people in that you've never let in before. And as if that's you, I encourage you to take it really seriously. Whether you drop some money in a bucket that's going to be back on the floor, you can just throw it in there, or whether you go on to radiant.family/give, and under guest speaker, you can put money right there. We want to bless them in a big way. But today, let's let God move our hearts to let people in, to let people in our lives. And then I encourage you, you may never come on a Wednesday night before. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, the next 3 weeks, would you make it appointment, a viewing? Would you get here? If you can't be here, it'll be on radiant.family, on our live, or our Facebook, on our Facebook page and YouTube. You can check it out there. But even better, get here Wednesday night for the conversation, as we believe God wants to do something in your life. I know he's going to do something in my life, and I'm so excited about it. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part. As you leave today, if you're not registered to vote, we encourage everybody to do that. You can sign up right out front, piece of paper's out there. And also, as you leave, be sure to get t-shirts, books, all those things. Bless their ministry as we just support them. And I promise you will be blessed by their book, Let's Start Again. Radiant Life Church, love you. Thank you for being here. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.